Uh-huh. Put it on you now, huh?
Well, thank you, Mom.
That's what...
She wants me to share her testimony.
But wait just a minute, Laura Lisa. That's what the fearless moms do.
Oh, I see. Well, she's right on point. Well, my mom had been sick about 2 years ago, and we had her in over at DHR, and her kidneys were shutting down. I mean, all of her organs were shutting down, and it turns out it was because of an ulcer that she had. So about a month ago, she started getting sick again, and she was in severe pain, and it got down to the point to where I told her last Friday, I said, we're just going to change your diet. When you left the hospital last time, you were on liquids. You know, let's give your body some time to heal. So God was wonderful, and he opened up a door so that we just went directly to the specialist. We were able to get in that same day. Dr. Bahara scheduled a test for her on Thursday morning. We took her in not knowing what they were going to tell us, but God had given us a peace, and he speaks to all of us differently. He knows sometimes some of us are a little more hard-headed than others.
Really?
And don't actually, yes. Can you relate, Pastor Hart? And so he has to show us in different ways. And so I just felt like at this point, God was in control. There was nothing we could do at this point but just have faith in him. And that's exactly what we did. We had complete faith in him. We went in, she had the test done, and praise God, she just had a reoccurrence of her ulcers. So we give him the glory. I thank the church for praying for her. And it just basically comes down to faith. I mean, it's that simple. I think sometimes we just complicate it, and I'm just as guilty as everyone else. So I thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Anyone else want to share a blessing or a testimony with us? Amen. Praise God. Well, Tuesday morning we have prayer here at 6:30 in the morning. Tuesday night, we have healing rooms at 7 in Mission. Thursday night at 6, we have Bible study, and then healing rooms at 7 here. Amen. If you'll turn to Luke, the 17th chapter, and I want Wanda to read this, Luke, the 17th chapter, verses 26 through 30. This is not a Mother's Day message. This is far beyond a Mother's Day message. Amen?
And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed.
Verse 26, it says, as it was in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, we all know the story of Noah and the great flood. But in the days of Noah, people assumed life would continue as usual. That's what was going on. They were unprepared for the shock of God's verdict. Jesus tells us that they ate, drank, and married. They were focused on their physical needs. They didn't see the end coming. Life seemed just quite ordinary until the flood. They thought everything was just going on good. Everything was going. Jesus says that the days of Noah are like the days of the Son of Man. The Son of Man has come, and he will come again. Amen? If we aren't aware of our circumstances, we will be caught up, we'll be caught off guard just as those citizens of Noah's world were. So we must ask, what were the characteristics of the days of Noah? And do they look like my days? Every day involved eating and drinking. If you want to survive, that's what you do, isn't it? You eat and you drink. This is part of human conditions. Jesus meant that they were eating and drinking without regard to the true reality of life. This is what Jesus was saying when he said in the days of Noah, that they were eating and drinking without regard to the true reality of life. They took care of themselves without considering who was taking care of what they ate and drank. A question. What about us? What about us? Are we doing the same? You know, Paul understood their mistake. He proclaimed that those who ignored God's sovereignty and refused to be thankful received what they deserved. I want Wanda to read Romans, the first chapter, and it's quite a few verses, but I think we need to see what's going on. Romans, the first chapter, verse 21 through 32.
Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the nature use of the woman, burn in their own lusts for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their errors which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, for being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that was those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them.
See, as we read these verses in Romans, Paul was saying that when people start ignoring the sovereignty of God, and they refuse to be thankful, they get what they deserve. Things happen. You look at our world today. Look at the United States today. Look at what's happening. I mean, you know, it's amazing. I don't say it's amazing, but it's terrible. But here, when people turn away from God and they quit looking to Him and saying, "Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in my life," people quit looking to the sovereignty of God. We had the National Day of Prayer, May the 5th. And it was one of the things that was brought out about it was because of the way the apathy that's in the church, turning away from God, having a cold heart toward God, not looking toward the sovereignty of God, is our nation is going, to excuse my French, to hell in a handbasket. Amen? I mean, we still have the greatest nation there is, but look what's happening. We're going downhill. What is happening in our nation today, in our world today? I mean, we have same-sex restrooms. Or, I mean, you know, the men can go into the women's restroom and vice versa and everything else. You've got homosexuals rampant. What did Paul say in Romans? It's because we have turned away from God. Amen? And we need to be praying. This prayer that I prayed a while ago, that God would send a spirit of revelation, would send His Spirit to convict us, convict the world, convict the unbelievers, but also convict the believers to be on fire for Him. Amen? What about us? The way life is being lived today, do we see why things are going the way they are? And you know what we can do about it? A little bitty church, a little bitty group of believers like this can pray. Can pray. I don't say pray on Sunday morning. I'm saying pray 7 days a week. Even pray. Ask God to wake you up in the middle of the night and pray. You know He answers that prayer? Don't pray it if you don't want to get up in the middle of the night. Because He will wake you up to pray. One time I asked Him, I said, "God, why do I wake up all the time at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning?" He said, "Because you're too busy during the rest of the day to pray." Okay, praise God that you wake me up, so I'll pray. Amen? In the days of Noah, men married, women were giving in marriage. They concentrated on the delights of intimacy. Their goals in life peaked in human relationships. This does not mean they were sexually immoral. That's not what this is talking about here. They simply forgot that God is also the God of sex. He's the God of everything. They did not acknowledge that God owns our bodies. They are not ours to do as we please. Amen? Our bodies are not ours to do as we please. They belong to Him. We need to remember that. Jesus says that in the days of the Son of Man, things will be pretty much as usual when He's coming back. Men and women will be caught up in the process of daily living. What's going on today? People all over the nation don't think about God. They don't think about the sovereignty of God. All they think about is me, me, me. What's in it for me? Can I get this? Can I get that? Can I do that? Amen? People will seek substances for the body and food and drink. And none of these things are wrong, but all of them are inadequate unless we live under the lordship of the sovereignty of God. All our efforts to maintain ourselves are nothing more than dangerous diversions. Nothing wrong with eating and drinking and all of that stuff. There's nothing wrong with it. But we have to be under the sovereignty of God. We got to remember who provides for us. We got to remember and give Him the glory. Thank Him. Unless we're constantly aware of the presence of the Son of God, we will eat and drink and do all those things while we step into the grave. We need to remember. I'm just encouraging us this today. Everything we do, thank Him. Remember Him. Look to Him. Today life is very much like the days of Noah. Jesus is calling us to see more than the world of food and drink and relationship. There's something else happening. You know what it is? Is it changing your thinking? Is the Lord changing your thinking about what's going on? Are you thinking about Him? Thinking about His sovereignty. That He is the provider. He is the one that's doing those things. And in verse 28, Luke 17, 28, it says, and was also in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. What changed from the days of Noah to the days of Lot? Life shifted from preoccupation with basic needs to preoccupation with commerce. Now men were buying, selling, planting, and building. Economic enterprise took center stage. The days of Lot were not days filled with extreme indulgence and sensuality. You know, we think that Sodom was destroyed because of the immorality. Amen? Sodom was not destroyed solely for its immorality. In Ezekiel, the 16th chapter, I want Wanda to read that, and it clarifies about Sodom.
Look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride, fullness of food, and abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw fit.
So this clarifies about Sodom. Sodom was condemned because God's blessing of abundance, because a source of affluent indifference and arrogance. Sodom refused to share God's goodness with the poor, with others. This failure was far deeper than just a sex thing. I mean, we always thought it was because of the homosexuals and blah, blah, blah. Sodom's problem was far deeper than that. It was a failure of vision. Sodom forgot that God is a God of compassion. You know, civilization had graduated from Noah to Lot. It moved from physical needs to commercial endeavors. But its spiritual appetite did not improve. The people were not hungry for God. They weren't looking for God, the sovereignty of God. Unless there's a deeper experience of the character of God in human actions, the result is always the same: destruction. In the days of Noah, human subsistence was no savior. In the days of Lot, human enterprise meant nothing. There's only one rescuer, in this world. Only one. And he is also the judge. We can walk without him for a while, but the end is inevitable. Life is intended to reflect the character of the Creator. Our life is to reflect the character of God. Our life is to reflect Jesus. Our desire is to, we need to have as a desire, is to be like Jesus. Our desire to be, when people see us, they see Jesus. Amen? I mean, that ought to be a cry in each one of our hearts every day. Lord, let the people that I'm associated with, let the people that I run into see Jesus in me. Amen? You know, today, people are consumed with the Lot syndrome. Money trumps everything. I mean, you just stop and think about it. In the world today, we're thinking everything's going on. Money trumps everything. Economic gain overwhelms all human dignity, compassion, and mercy. In this world today, a man's destiny is determined by his bank account. Whether you got a big bank account or you don't have a bank account. I mean, it works both ways. You got a big bank account, everybody thinks your destiny's up there, amen? And you don't have a bank account, you're way down in the poorhouse. The world praises the rich while God holds them responsible for his intentions. The fact that the world's wealthiest 250 people have more assets than the world's poorest, 2.5 billion. And that's a kind of astronomical figure. That's only one symptom of this economic cancer that's happening. In the days of Lot, Jesus reminds us men thought the economic engine was their salvation. But death came anyway. Life and death are never in the hands of man. When we forget that our abundance has heavenly purposes, nothing wrong with having abundance. Didn't say that. But when we forget that our abundance has heavenly purposes, we live in Sodom. Even if we claim to be moral. We need to be praying and believing that life is more than the days of Noah. Jesus calls us to see more than a world of food and drink and relationships. And we need to remember, as was in the days of Lot, our life has heavenly purposes. We are to remember, we're in the hands of God. We're in the hands of the Lord. And we need to remember the sovereignty, his sovereignty over our life. And always think about and put it in him. Put it in his hands. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. He's the one that's taking care of us. He's the healer. He's the deliverer. He's the protector. It's about him. It's not about us. It's not about what we're doing. When we leave here, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we need to be thinking about him, not about just everything that goes on in life. Amen? We need to be remembering he is the sufficiency. He is our provider. Amen? Amen? Father, we thank you and we magnify you. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. And Lord, we just right now today Say, Lord, we look to you. We look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. We look to you, Lord, and we know that you are the one that's providing for us. It's not things that we do. It's what you're doing for us and in us and through us. And Lord, we thank you and we magnify you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Praise God.